Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Here we go again, ladies of Liverpool. I'm your host, Leanne Campbell. Thanks for tuning in. We've been going forever and a day. I always say before podcasts were trendy, we've been doing our thing and you've been the backbone of our community. So thank you for your support. Keep sharing the messages, social media videos, but more importantly, the pods. We want people tuning in, whether you're doing the ironing, you're in the bath, you're on your holidays by the pool, take us with you wherever you go. Listen any time of day because these stories need to be heard. So sponsored by The Orthodontic Practice, once again, I urge you to find them on socials, have a look at what they do, particularly if you're looking for a second opinion or for someone to sort your kids. So when it comes to our kids, that decision really is important and you want to go with the best. You want to know all the facts and you want every option available. If you've been told surgery is an option, the only option, before you do anything, go and speak to Dr. Sharva at The Orthodontic Practice on Rodney Street. Google them, find them on socials, and now sit back and tune in to this. We've got Jenna with us. Jenna, we've spoken about so much on this podcast, and I could be wrong here, but I'm going to stick my neck on the line and say, we've never had a conversation here about being a foster parent, a foster carer, fostering in so many different ways. I don't even know where to start because I know people will be listening who have, you know, been a foster child or, you know, have decided to put their child into foster care. So this is really a sensitive subject.
Yes.
But we know we're talking to not an expert, but somebody who's lived and breathed it.
Yeah.
So tell us your story, Jenna. How did you become a foster carer?
So me and my husband, we initially did look at adoption. That was the process that we were looking at going through. And as we were doing our research, we came about fostering and we just sat there, we read up about it. And I said, this is an amazing thing. I think we could do this. Mm-hmm. In my job, I work with children every day. I'm a dance teacher.
Yeah.
I've always worked with children. We've got a daughter of our own. She's 12. And we just... We never planned another child. We looked into adoption. And when we started reading up about fostering, I just said, I think this is just really important. And I think if we've got that time and that space in our lives, we could do this and we could make a difference.
It takes a special person, doesn't it, to do it? It really does, because I can't be the only one who sat and thought about it myself. We bought our house with a spare bedroom in, and it was for my mum and dad. Yeah. And I've been begging them to come and live with me full time, and I've got nowhere yet. So what you did. And I look at that spare room, which has become a studio, and it's become a place where I hold all the buyers club clothes and stock and things like that. And I go, I know we could offer something lovely for a child. And my youngest is 13 now. And so when you message me, I'm like, was this a conversation that you'd like to have on Ladies of Liverpool? I'm like, yeah, because I can't be the only one who sat and thought about it. But the difference between thinking about it and actually doing it.
Yeah.
So obviously you've done what the rest of us has done. You've gone, but what if?
Yeah.
And what effect could this have on our daughter and our lives? And talk us through that thought process then, personally for you and your guy.
I think that was really important. As you know, Riley is an only child, so that was something we needed to think about, and her feelings were always going to be up there as, how is this going to affect her? Is it going to affect
her? Did you ask her?
We explained it to her. She was a bit, you know, she was young back then. Mm-hmm. You know, what does that mean? You know,
how does that affect me?
And we were unsure really going into it whether we would be placed, whether we'd have an older child placed with us or a younger child. So when we looked at the, you know, the different avenues to take with fostering, we did decide to go with a younger child just because with Riley still being in primary school at that time, some older children might have been exposed to things that we didn't want her to be involved with.
That's an honest thing to say.
Yeah.
Because I think my head would go there as well. Yeah. I wouldn't want the dynamic to be somebody, because there's always, it's like, it's nature, yes, isn't it?
Yeah.
The older sibling will always want to have a little bit more control and a bit more say. And and that's a really important thing to discuss with each other and your daughter as well.
Definitely.
So you went and decided that if you were going to do this, it'll be with a younger child.
So we decided primary school age, and we looked at different avenues. We looked at working through the council, and then we decided to go with an agency. So we're with Fostering Solutions Northwest. They're fantastic, Leanne. They are brilliant.
So we see these adverts and stuff all the time where, you know, they're really crying out for people to get involved. What's your experience with that? What do you know now that we don't know? Why is it so important in your words?
I just think not enough people do that research. That's all it takes. Just talk to people. If you know anybody who is a foster carer, I've got friends who are foster carers, but again, they were with older children. And what we found with Fostering Solutions, they were willing to have conversations with us. They came to our home, they talked it through with us, and the support as well since we've started fostering with them is fantastic. Not just with the children that we look after, but Riley's involved. The activities they put on, it's like a big family. They are brilliant. I just think, do your research, have a read up about it.
I didn't realise that was the case, that then if you've already got a child, so if someone's in the same situation as you now and they're thinking that's a negative, it can actually be a positive.
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah, she's so involved. The activities that they plan, they do Christmas parties every year. We do outings, trips. They've done a trip to the you know, local pantomime, things like that. And they always involve like birth children with it as well. So they feel that they are part of that fostering journey with the children that we look after.
How long have you been doing this?
Nearly 5 years now.
Okay, so you're not just dipping your toe in it. You're 5 years. Right, okay, so we can ask the questions now. So I can ask you, talk to me about some of the stories that you've heard from the children and why they've been placed in your care.
So we've tended to have babies placed with us. So every child that we've had placed with us has been under the age of one, which has been amazing. We never went into it thinking we would be placed with babies. I think my head never went to that there would be babies that would need a home or go into care. I don't know whether they think, oh, we're a youngish couple, you'll be okay with the night feeds and things like that. But all the children that we've looked after, we are currently on our seventh placement now in 5 years. And they've all been babies, which has been amazing. The first children that we looked after were twin baby girls. Beautiful baby girls. And we've been lucky enough with this, with the fostering, with the babies, to transition them to adoption. So we get to meet their adoptive families. So it's been amazing.
So how long did you have the twinnies for?
So the twinnies we have for 13 months.
Okay, so that's a long time. So the next question, I've got to be dead honest with you, because this is what the beauty of this podcast is. On radio and stuff, you can't ask the questions you really want to ask. And do you fall in love with them?
100%. 100%. And even now, when I think back to them, your heart goes a little bit.
They know who you are, don't they?
Yeah.
So you can still have contact with them?
I mean, it's very much dependent on the adopters and how they feel. If they want it to be open, or if, it just depends on how much they want to tell the children, really. We've transitioned, so it was the twinnies first, and then we transitioned another little boy afterwards. We are very, very close with his parents now.
So his interesting, yes.
Yeah.
Because I think if I did adopt, and I've got a cousin who was adopted, and there is a part of you that, when you really want to be this child's family parent, you couldn't have children of your own or for whatever reason, you do want that mum, dad, child bond to continue that. Oh, but that was your foster care. That's a big decision, isn't it? That not everybody's up for.
No.
And I understand.
Yeah.
I think both sides.
I think that is the hard thing. We Well, you do bond with them. So when you transition a child from fostering to adoption, the process is fantastic, the way it's set up. It happens over a number of months and you do things called bump into you. So you'll be out, you know, with the baby in the pram.
Yeah.
And then they'll walk past and it'll be, oh, hello. So the baby gets to see their face. So the way it's all set up is brilliant and they've put a lot of thought into it.
Oh, so it's like a real organic process.
Oh, definitely.
You drip feed this person.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. That really blows my mind because in real circumstances, you know, if something was to happen to you as a parent, you do, but this way you choose a godparent or a godmother or a godfather, and you want someone close that has been there to step in so this child feels like some security or some normality. To try and create that over a couple of months, that can't be an easy thing to do.
No, it's hard. And it's hard as well because you feel quite protective over the babies. Obviously, you know, you've brought them up and then this couple are wanting to take on your role.
Yeah.
So you get a little bit, your back gets up a little bit, you know.
Especially if you're good at what you do when you're in it for all the right reasons.
Yeah.
You've loved this child and you know what every cry means, when they eat, when they need to go to sleep. Oh, they don't like that. You can't do that. Or they can't wear that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of information to pack into a file or a conversation.
Yeah, definitely. It is hard. It's hard. But again, the process, so it can get quite intense. It starts off with the bump into yous. And then for the last 2 weeks before the baby moves on to their new family, they practically come and live in your house, to be honest. But again, by that point, you've built that relationship up with them.
Actually sleep over?
No.
They're there all the time.
6 o'clock in the morning and then
they're there for a week.
Yeah.
So they're there to make the breakfast and do all those
things
that kids connect with love and safety and...
Like bath time, putting them to bed, all things like that. So you get so close. You get so close because you're in each other's lives then. You know, they're in your house, you're in their house and things like that. So that really does help. So you get a sense of who these people are.
This has changed over the years, Jenna, because that's not my memory. And I was only a kid when my cousin was adopted. Mm-hmm. And we'd waited for this baby for so long. Like my whole life, we'd waited for this baby. And we were waiting for someone, you know, who didn't have a sick tummy, like my auntie, you know, who could have this baby and we were going to then be able to spoil this baby and love this baby. So it was always in my childhood. And then we got the phone call and I was in school. I was sick that day, Jenna, randomly. And my uncle came to pick me up and went, guess what? Oh. And I just remember me nan and my mum and all of us were just in bits. We were getting this baby. But it wasn't, there wasn't this, there was there was a one meeting, I think.
Oh, really?
And then there was just to go in the car and collect.
Yeah.
And bring this, and it was a new baby, you know. And it's emotional. There's so many people involved, including the parents who make this decision to give this child a different life.
Yeah.
I'm careful and trying to be sensitive of how we word it because I know not two stories are ever the same.
No.
So in your experience, what was the reason behind some of these children being placed in your care?
We've worked with a lot of different families and some families, just trying to think of a way I can word this as well. They do try. It's just circumstances. It could be family dynamics.
Yeah.
It could be like their relationship isn't secure enough that they can raise that child. There's different reasons, and sometimes it's not always birth family's choice, for that child to go adoption, which happens quite a lot when it's a newborn baby, which
that's traumatic as well for you as a mum. You've got your own daughter. The thought of somebody making that decision for whatever reasons, we don't have to go into those reasons, but to remove that child from its mother, you know. Oh, that is a tough one. Obviously, whoever makes those decisions believes they're doing it for the right reasons, for the safety of the child or for whatever that may be. But when you break it down to whatever the reason, a mum
losing
their child.
Yeah. And you get close. So what happens?
Do you have a relationship with that mother, with the birth mum as well?
Quite often, yes.
I didn't know that.
because the courts aren't sure yet of what the judge's decision is going to be, whether that child will be placed for adoption or whether they will go back home, because, you know, they put things in place to help birth family, which is great. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. We do what we call family time. So with babies, it's usually 5 times a week, which is we take the baby to meet their birth family, supervised visits. Mm-hmm. So we do form a relationship with them as well, and we get to know them. So that probably is one of the things that...
And they would never be the mum you'd need to see you.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you've got the most precious thing in the life.
So important, yeah. Yeah, and you've got to be sensitive to what's happening for them as well. You know, it's difficult, but it's important. And as you just said, you do form a relationship. And sometimes I feel mum to mum.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I do fall.
Some level, yeah.
And we've worked with a lot of young mothers as well. And they need to see who's, like you said, looking after their child. I think it's really, really important.
Have you ever, in your experience then, managed to place that child back with its birth mum?
Not in our experience.
No.
We're fostering a young baby now. Again, that could, the baby could go back with mum. It's still ongoing, so we're not sure. So that could be.
Maybe that
be
will
the outcome
be
there, yeah.
Outcome that we could look forward to, yeah.
I mean, the goal is always to place a baby back with their biological family if that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And if it's not, it's not, unfortunately. Yeah. And then that's when we start the adoption process and we go into meeting the new adopters and things like that. So there's different sides to it. We feel like we've experienced a lot, you know, with having the babies, and these, again, things that we always thought when we went into fostering, oh, we'd get an older child and, you know, and they'd stay with us until they were 18.
Yeah.
We never thought that this opens another side to it with having the babies. But we laugh, and my mum laughs and says, you know, you've got all these extra family members now, because we do stay in touch, and, you know, they call us, you know, Auntie Jen and Uncle Craig, things like that. And it's lovely, that side as well.
They say some people have enough love for more than their own household. And that sounds like that's you and your partner and your daughter. And what you're doing is so amicable and so brave as well. So for someone who's on the fence about it, real talk, have there been moments where you would say, I wish I'd have been more prepared for that? Because you, like with everything in life, until you're actually doing it, you can't be. So, same with being a mum.
No
one can give you a book beforehand that covers everything. It just doesn't work like that. So you've learnt on the job.
Oh, definitely.
A lot of things. And there's advice that you'd be able to help other people with. Mm-hmm. So the community is obviously strong and there's a lot of support. But what have been the moments where you've gone, I didn't even think of that, or I wasn't prepared for that? Yeah.
I'd say from the beginning, when we got that, and it can happen so fast. It depends on, because when the twinnies were placed with us, that was an emergency placement. So it was really, really fast.
Yeah.
That was difficult. Saying goodbye, that's difficult. But it's so rewarding when you see a baby with their new family. That's just... it's the most rewarding thing and the most special thing you could imagine.
Yeah.
You know, you've helped bring that child up and you've helped that family become a unit. Oh, it's lovely. Yeah. It's amazing. But
like I say, from our experience, that was our whole existence waiting for this baby. And it was winning the lottery when we got that phone call as a family. It was the final little piece to our jigsaw. And so for you to see that, and has that been your experience when you're dealing with, you know, the adoptive parents, that it's something that completes their life?
Yeah, it definitely is. And just to add to it, me and my husband, we're one of the children that we fostered, we're actually adopting them now as well. So yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you've got your daughter now, you've got your foster son that's going to become your adopted son, or your son. And how old?
So he is 2 in August.
And you've had him from when he was a baby?
3 months.
What happened there for you to say he belongs here? He's got to stay here with us.
Lots of people say that, you know, what's the difference between, you know, because we've had a lot. I think with the twins, it was very early on. And Riley was so young, although I didn't want to let them go, Leanne. I couldn't, I didn't want to let them go. It was
this
so
is the thing I think about. So I was really struggle with that final transition?
It was so hard. But then when we looked at it, I remember saying to my husband, I can't do it. But then when we went ahead and then we met the adopters, we just went, that's their family.
Yes.
That's their family. That's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And everything just fitted into place. With one of the other little boys we fostered, he's been adopted with his biological brother. So that was right.
Yes.
Every child we fostered, it's just felt right. And then with the little boy that we're adopting, he was just our family.
Yeah.
It just from the beginning, from when we first got him, he just fitted into our family unit. My daughter just absolutely adores him. And again, the process was, if we can get him home, amazing, that would be great. And it just didn't work out that way. And then when the adoption order came, we kind of just both looked at each other and said, why don't you want to let him go?
Yeah.
And he's one of us. He's part of our
So
family.
You'll continue to adopt? To foster, sorry.
Yeah, so we've got another little boy placed with us
maybe
at the moment.
Maybe adopt as well. We go to the future.
Yeah, so we've got a newborn with us at the moment as well. So, that's what we'd love to do.
There's something quite beautiful about that. That I don't know how you'll play this because everybody's different, but if you're planning on being open with your adoptive son, and he's seeing these babies come in and being taken care of, and the understanding that he's going to have being in that home should make his journey smoother.
Oh, definitely.
You would imagine that understanding is going to be key for how he, moves forward with his life.
Yeah, definitely. And again, like the support that we get, the training and things like that, because at the moment he's still young, so them questions aren't there yet, but them questions are going to come up, and we want to be as open as possible. Mm-hmm. We do want to be as open as possible, but as you said, we want to continue fostering, and he'll see, he'll see the babies come and go, or if we get older children and things like that. So I think that's important that he knows that was his story as well.
Yeah, I've loved this conversation. I think the only thing left for us to do now is to just remind people, if they are thinking about it, what they should do and why.
Yeah. So I think, again, just take a little look online, do your research. There's different avenues to take it. You can go with your local council, with your local authority, or you can go through an agency. For us, we felt the agency was the right path, but that might not be the same for everybody. No matter who you're with, you always get that support.
Mm-hmm.
And then, talk to people if you can, people who have fosters as well, and share, ask them about their experiences. And as well, I still work. So just to say, I think a lot of people think, oh, I need to be retired, or they think about foster carers as being older and not working. It's still possible to work. I'm still working, 5 days a week. My husband works.
I've got to ask because people will question why I haven't asked you this. Mm-hmm. And you've just reminded me of it, purely because I didn't think of it. But so is there a wage attached?
There is.
To being a foster carer,
yes.
Or a foster parent? What do you like? What term do you like, carer or parent?
Either. I don't mind. Yeah.
So that could obviously, the conversations from this podcast will happen where people say, "Did you listen to Lazy Liverpool?" Imagine if someone just did it for the money or was doing it for the wrong reasons. Obviously, that happens. That's life. People take advantage of different situations. But it's a big commitment, and it's a lot to bring onto you or your family or whatever for what I imagine isn't a life-changing wage.
No, it's not.
No, you're still going to work and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Have you experienced or heard, you said your friends are in, there's a community of foster carers. Have you ever been in a situation where you've thought, I'm not sure whether they're doing it for the right reasons, or I can see the appeal for somebody to do it if they're out of work and times are hard? And
honestly, no.
No.
No. Everybody who we've come across or throughout our group, we have support group every month and things like that. I've never come across anybody who's doing that for the money, because it's, as you said, it's not a wage. It is a wage, but it's... You do it for so many different reasons. It's it helps. It does help. But that goes I mean, when we got the twins, for instance, I went out and bought a whole new wardrobe because I wanted them to match. So that was my wages.
So
getting them little matching invoices outfits. In. So yeah, so I think I've never come across anybody who goes, I'm doing this for the money.
Yeah, no, that's good to know. Yeah. That's good to know and good to hear from you.
Yeah.
But the questions need to be asked for us for rounded conversation.
Yeah.
So again, if you are thinking about it, you've heard from Jenna directly. For her reasons, your reasons might be totally different. Mm-hmm. But if you could go back and change anything, would you change it or would you do it all again?
I'd do it all again in a heartbeat, and we still will. And that was the main thing when we decided that we were adopting. We both said we still want to carry on fostering. We still want to carry on fostering. And at the moment, there's just not enough of us.
No.
There's not enough of us. And it's such, everyone says to me, I think I said this when I reached out to you, everyone says, oh, we can't let them go. But I always say, rather than for that little bit of heartache that you'll feel, think about all the happiness that you can give that child.
Yeah.
That's what makes it worthwhile, you know.
Gives these kids a good start in life.
Definitely.
And changing the path for them.
Definitely.
And just putting them somewhere safe.
Safe, yeah. Safe and loving. Safe space. And then if they do go on to be adopted, an extended family. That's what we always want.
I can just hear people thinking about it. You know, I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, if someone's on the fence or on the edge, this could be the conversation that makes them go forward and change people's lives for the good, for the better, and supporting people, you know, in crisis or at times of need, birth parents. So if it's for you, you've heard it all directly from Jenna, and we'll tag in the links on socials, but please do your research. Step into that world if you think you can do some good. And thank you so much for being so honest with us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes store. Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool
via ladiesofliverpool.com.
Ladies of Liverpool, brought to you by the Orthodontic Practice on Rodney Street.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.